You may ask the question, why should I care about this man, Jesus, who died on a cross 2,000 years ago? Is the Christ of Christianity even real, or is this whole thing just a myth? Is Jesus really the Son of God, or did he just put on a really good show? What relevance does it have to me in my life? How you answer these questions, well, it's everything. Do you know that the Gospel of John begins by speaking about Jesus? John, the author, calls him the Word. He begins, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made." Let's replace the Word with the name that is above every name. In the beginning was Jesus, and Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Jesus, and without Jesus, nothing was made that was made. Colossians chapter 1 tells us that, "For by Jesus all things were created that are in heaven and that are on the earth, visible and invisible. All things were created through Jesus and for Jesus." Let me take just a few minutes this morning and tell you about him. Because apparently this world is his. This world is his who is the greatest showman. The greatest showman of God's love, of God's mercy, of God's power, of God's forgiveness, and of God's grace. This Jesus had no beginning because at the beginning he already was. Because he's always been and always will be. Because he is God's only begotten Son. John, who wrote the book of Revelation, calls him the Lamb slain from the foundations of the earth, which means that before anything was created, there was a divine plan in place for Easter before the earth became the earth. Let that sink in for just a moment. He was there at creation. Jesus, who has always been and who always will be, created something out of nothing. In Latin, it's called ex nihilo. It means something from nothing, which means everything we see today had a beginning. Everything that is, except Jesus, who has always been and will always be. You see, when God created man, he gave him a free will. And with that free will, man chose to go his own way. And sin entered the earth, and a separation occurred between God and man, a curse of an eternal separation. But remember, God had a plan before the world was. The plan revolved around giving his Son. The Bible teaches that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And the good news of the gospel is that Jesus Christ is God's answer to your sin problem. So just at the right time, God sent his Son to the earth, and Jesus was born. The babe in the manger at Christmas morning, the one destined to die on Good Friday's cross. And between those two events, the Bible confirms that he lived a sinless life. He ministered with a power others before him had only limitedly seen, because the Bible tells us that Jesus had the Spirit of God without measure. With his power, blind eyes were opened, deaf ears could hear, the lame walked, the sick were healed, demons were cast out, and the dead were raised to life. He took a little boy's lunch and fed thousands. He turned water into wine. He calmed storms. He walked on water. He taught with authority that others only wished they had. He demonstrated a love without conditions. He forgave without reservations. He called others to greatness, and he was moved with compassion for those others ignored. Jesus realized that the religious leaders weren't seeing what they needed to see, because he said this. He said to them one day, "You search the scriptures, for in them you think they have eternal life, but these are they which testify of me." There's a reason that John called Jesus the Word, because the Bible tells us about Jesus from Genesis to Revelation. In Genesis, Jesus is the Word of God creating the heavens and the earth. He is the seed of the woman, and he's the ram caught at Abraham's altar. In Exodus, he's the Passover lamb whose blood was sprinkled on the doorpost. In Leviticus, he is the high priest. In Numbers, he is the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. In Deuteronomy, he's the prophet like unto Moses in the city of refuge. In Joshua, he's the captain of salvation and the scarlet rope that hung from Rahab's window. In Judges, he's the judge and the lawgiver. In Ruth, he's the kinsman's redeemer. In 1 and 2 Samuel, he's the trusted prophet. In Kings and Chronicles, he is the reigning king. In Ezra, he's the rebuilder of the broken down walls of human life. In Esther, he is Mordecai sitting at the gates of the city. In Job, he is our ever living redeemer. In Psalms, he is the shepherd who leads us to green pastures and still waters. In Proverbs, he is our wisdom. In Ecclesiastes, he is the hope of salvation. In the Song of Solomon, he is the loving bridegroom. In Isaiah, he is the child to be born and the son given, the prince of peace and the suffering servant. In Jeremiah, he's the righteous branch and the one who writes God's laws in our hearts. In Lamentations, he's the weeping prophet and he's the comforter. In Ezekiel, he's the wonderful four-faced man and the river of life bringing healing to the nations. In Daniel, he's the fourth man in the fiery furnace. In Hosea, he's the faithful husband married forever to the backslider. In Joel, he is the baptizer with the Holy Ghost and with fire and the restorer of what was stolen. In Amos, he is the burden bearer. In Obadiah, he's the judge of the earth. Earth, and he is mighty to save. In Jonah, he's the prophet sent out into the storm. In Micah, he's the messenger of hope born in Bethlehem. In Nahum, he's the avenger of God's elect. In Habakkuk, he is God our Savior. In Zephaniah, he is the King of Israel. In Haggai, he is the signet ring and the restorer of God's lost heritage. In Zechariah, he is the fountain. In Malachi, he is the Son of Righteousness with healing rising in his wings. Somebody give God praise. Because that's just the Old Testament. In the New Testament, in Matthew, he is God with us, the King of the Jews and the Son of the living God. In Mark, he is the miracle worker. In Luke, he is the Son of God. In John, he is the Word made flesh, the Good Shepherd, and the Bread of Life. In Acts, he's the Savior of the world and the Spirit that dwells in people. And he is the name that is above all names. In Romans, he is the righteousness of God and the justifier of our faith. In 1 Corinthians, he's the conqueror over death, and he is our resurrection. In 2 Corinthians, he is the triumphant one, giving victory in the down payment for what is to come. In Galatians, he is our liberty and our freedom. In Ephesians, he is the head of the church. In Philippians, he is the joy and the supplier of our needs. In Colossians, he is our completeness. In 1 and 2 Thessalonians, he is the soon coming king. In 1 Timothy, he is the mediator between God and man. In 2 Timothy, he is our stability and our help. In Philemon, he is the one who sticks closer than a brother. In Titus, he is truth. In Hebrews, he is the great high priest and the author and finisher of our faith. In James, he is the great physician. In 1 Peter, he is our hope in times of suffering. In 2 Peter, he is the restorer of all things. 1 John, he is love, he is life, and he is light. In 2 John, he is our brother who walks in the truth. In 3 John, he is our prosperity, our health, and our peace. In Jude, he is the foundation of our faith and the Lord coming with 10,000 of his saints. And in Revelation, he is the Lord of lords, the great I am, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Somebody give him some praise this morning. From Genesis to Revelation, the Bible points to Jesus and tells us that he is the world's greatest showman. We began this morning by looking at the very first verse of the Gospel of John. Now listen to the very last verse of that same Gospel. And there is also many other things that Jesus did, if which they were written one by one. I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that it would be written. Now that's a show that's worth seeing. But that wasn't enough, because Jesus was falsely accused of something he did not do. Then he was brutally punished for something that he did not deserve, so that we could receive forgiveness and mercy that we did not earn. That's what the Bible tells us about Jesus. But what does his angels tell us about Jesus? You see, the Bible tells us that Jesus is the captain of the Lord's army, an angelic force more powerful than anything we've ever seen or imagined. His angels proclaimed his birth to the shepherds of Bethlehem, and they ministered to him after he spent 40 days in temptation in the desert. But then in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he was betrayed, they were given orders to stand down, and then they stood by when he was accused of crimes that he did not commit by people who were jealous and threatened by him, and then was found guilty for what others had done, and he was sentenced to die. His angels stood by when he was tied to the whipping post and stripes were laid upon his back by his Roman tormentors. They stood by when a crown of thorns was jammed into his scalp, when he was slapped and beaten and humiliated. They stood by when he was forced to carry his own cross to Calvary's hill. They stood by when nails were driven into his hands and into his feet. And they stood by when he cried out from the cross these final words, "It is finished." And he took the sins of the whole world upon himself. And then they stood by when his lifeless body was laid in a borrowed tomb and continued to stand by unseen on that first day. And then they stood by unseen on that second day. But on the morning of the third day, when the sun began to rise, orders were received from above. They were no longer to stand down nor to stand by. Their orders were to stand up and go and bring their king home. Because Jesus had defeated death, hell, and the grave, and all those who were in hell, according to the Bible, it says, having disarmed principalities and power, he made a public spectacle, a show of them, triumphing over them in it. Now that's a show worth seeing. Mary was the first one at the tomb on that very first Easter morning, and to her surprise found an angel standing guard who said to her, "Why do you seek the living among the dead?" For 40 days after his resurrection, Jesus once again walked on the earth, and then he was lifted up into heaven. While his disciples stared into the sky, two angels appeared and said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you unto heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven." Now that's a show worth seeing. What can I tell you about Jesus? Well, there has never been anyone like him, nor will there ever be. He always was, always is, always will be, and he is coming back. Who is this greatest showman? His name is Jesus. He is unmoved. He is unchanged. He is undefeated, and he is never undone. He came into the world he created, but they did not understand him. Armies could not defeat him. Schools can't explain him. Leaders can't ignore him. The Pharisees couldn't confuse him. Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't stop him. The grave couldn't hold him. Nero couldn't crush what he started. And the New Age movement can't replace him. And the skeptics can't explain him away. Who is this greatest showman? His name is Jesus. Somebody in the house, give him some praise. Who is Jesus? He loves, he cares, he forgives, he heals, he comforts, and he lifts up. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. But what did he promise you? He promises to never leave you nor forsake you. He'll never mislead you, never forget you, never overlook you, and never cancel an appointment he makes with you. When you fall, he lifts you up. When you make a mistake, he forgives you. When you're weak, he is strong. When you're lost, He is your way. When you're afraid, He is your courage and your strength. When you stumble, He steps in and steadies you. When you're hurt, He heals you. When you're broken, He mends you. When you can't see your way, He leads you out. When you're hungry, He feeds you. When you face trials, He's with you. When you're persecuted, He protects you. When your heart is broken, He comforts you. When you suffered loss, He provides for you. And then when that final day comes, when you face death, He comes to carry you home. Somebody give Him some praise. So what can I tell you that the Bible and His angels haven't already said? Well, I can tell you that when everyone else has abandoned you, He's the one who sticks closer than a brother. When the stars of Hollywood fade, He remains the bright and morning star. When your world crumbles apart, He's the rock that is higher than I. When troubles come, He is the strong tower to run to, because He's a very present help in time of trouble. He is the good and faithful shepherd. He is the bread of life, the joy of heaven, the Lamb of God, the King of kings, the light of the world. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He is the author and finisher of our faith, the chief cornerstone, the great high priest, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the mediator between God and man. He is the Messiah, the Redeemer, the Savior, the Son of God, the Son of David, and the Son of Man. He is the door to heaven, the vine, the beloved Son, the branch, the captain of our salvation. He is wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, and the head of all things. He is the King of all ages, the King of the Jews, the King of kings, the Lord of all, the Lord of glory, the Lord of lords, our advocate and the mighty God. He is the Passover Lamb, the Prince of Peace and the Resurrection. And He promises this, that He is the way, He is the truth, He is the life, and that no one comes to the Father except by Him. But the question remains, can you tell me about Jesus? Who is He to you? Is He just a myth, or is he who the Bible says that He is? Is He God's beloved Son who gave His life for you? Who is Jesus to you? Is He your only hope? Is He your Lord? If not, why not? If not, isn't it time for you to make your stand, to stand up and declare that Jesus is so much more than an Easter story? Jesus is the creator of heaven and of earth, the one who formed you in your mother's womb, the one who took your sins to the cross, the one who suffered on your behalf, the one who gave His life up for yours, the one who is asking you only to believe in Him. Isn't it time to decide? What else does Jesus need to do for you? What are you looking for? He is the answer. He brings life to the dead. You see, if Jesus is not the Lord of your life, if you've not been born again, then I've got some really important news to share with you. The Bible says, apart from God, we're dead. Eternally separated from Him because of sin. And here's the thing. We've all sinned. We've all fallen short of God's glory. We're all in the same boat. We need a Savior. We need someone we can trust. When we've placed our trust in others who have disappointed us, Jesus will never disappoint. He's always there. He is the one we can count on. He's the one who wants to be a part of your life. But it takes us to believe. It takes us to surrender. Because when we're dead, separated from God because of sin, we need Him. And isn't it time for us to make a stand for Him?